so much for joining me. This is your host, Antoinette Zaleski, on Enchanted Hour. Today I have a special guest. Her name is Ruth Ann Mack, and she's a Karuna Reiki master and shamanic practitioner and teacher. Before I bring her on the show, I just wanted to let you know that I'm very excited that everybody is here to join me today. I have a couple of things that I need to remind everybody is that my schedule for April is very, 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 very booked up. I'm so excited that I have a lot of guests coming on my show. I just wanted to let you know that in April, April 8th, I'm having Madamza. She is an author. And also on April 22nd, I'm having Samuel and Kelly the Angel Raphael. So I'm quite ecstatic about this upcoming month in May. I also wanted to let you know about my past ghost investigation. I'm sure you guys are well aware that I went on a ghost investigation about a month ago, and we finally got the results back from LA Spirits. It's a paranormal investigation team here where I live in Louisiana, and we had some interesting activity that happened in our house. There was over 7 EVPs of this energy that was in our house, and I have to say, when I first went in there to do a house blessing, I noticed that there was 3 entities in the house, and actually they picked up 3 different voices on these EVPs. So I was very ecstatic to hear that. But unfortunately, she had a minister that came in, which that's very good, but she's having no more activity, which is the fabulous thing. That was the whole idea of doing that. I guess the person that did LA Spirits is supposed to be going back and doing the investigation as well as myself, so I will update you on that as time goes forward with that. But again, I want all of my viewers to know, I want to welcome my guest. Her name is Ruth Ann, and I'm very honored that you're here. Ruth, are you there?
I am right here.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Again, thank you, and I was wondering if you can go a little bit in depth about your Reiki master and your shamanic practitioner. Can you explain to us, you know, to the viewers, exactly what does that entwine in your career?
Well, to those not familiar with Reiki, it's basically a healing modality where we step back and allow Reiki energy to flow through us. It's not us and our energy. It is when I do a session for someone. Excuse me, I have a little allergy problem this morning.
Me too.
Anyway,
I think it's the pollen in the air.
Yes, it is. It's awful here. When I step back and allow the Reiki energy to flow, which is basically defined as universal life energy, it balances out everyone. The person I'm working on's energy balances out their chakras, gets all their energy flowing. And basically what it does is it doesn't heal the person. It allows the person to heal. And to me, there's a big difference between the two. I'm not a healer in that I go heal people. I simply get them in a place where they can, you know, their natural healing abilities will keep them balanced. And so that's what Reiki is. And shamanic practitioner, I basically also use shamanic techniques. And those would be from journeying to soul retrieval, soul remembrances. When I feel something that needs to be removed, if the person gives permission, like some old energy, some negative energy, sometimes a bond that might be to someone they've been, let's say, married to before and might still be connected, something to do with childhood, an injury, some kind of a trauma. There are so many things in our world today that leave us traumatized in one way or another and leave energy stuck on us. And what I basically do with all the techniques that I use is help either bring back what was lost or remove what doesn't need to be there and open up all those energy pathways. And then I teach teach all the different levels of Reiki because I can't help myself. I just need to share this and want to share this. And I see people become empowered to take control of their lives and to know what they were born with. We come in with wonderful gifts.
Well,
and so basically what I do is help people get that back.
Good. It sounds very interesting what you do, actually. I'm a natural healer, and I'm a medical intuitive and a psychic medium myself, and I've always been, for the last 5 years, I've been very intrigued about the shamanic way of how they practice and how they incorporate all their spiritual being in their selves and teachings, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm really glad that you came on, because I really wanted to learn more, and of course to my viewers as well, too, because, you know, I don't work with a shamanic practitioner, I never have, but I'm very interested in what you do, and that's very interesting. So there's different levels of Reiki that you said?
Reiki, yes. There are different levels. There's a foundational level, which is level one, and you basically get a background, you get attuned to the first level. That's how we pass on that ability to let it channel through you, is for an attunement. It used to be, back when Reiki was first discovered back in Japan, that the Dr. Usui was the original Reiki practitioner, and he, you know, had his students around him, and they kind of absorbed the energy and started using it themselves. But, you know, our world today, our society is not set up to just go hang out with someone and teach and learn with them for months at a time or years. And
yeah.
So we use attunements to help pass the energy on. And so at level one, the person learns the basics and starts out and does get to where he or she can channel the energy. And then level two, you learn symbols that go with it and learn to send distance Reiki, which is an amazing, amazing thing. And we can send to anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe, I would say. And then when we move up to ART, we learn some more advanced, which is advanced Reiki. We learn more advanced techniques. It's still not our energy. It's still allowing the Reiki to flow through us, but we learn more techniques to enhance that experience. And then the master level is where you learn to teach it and you learn to attune people. And so there are several levels on it. All the shamanic work, I have trained with a wonderful shaman and continue my training, and I am soon going to be teaching the core level for shamanism, where you learn to journey and you learn to have a wonderful relationship with your guides. I am not a shamanic practitioner. I mean, I am not a Native American or a native of a place where I was brought up in the shamanic practices.
I was curious, because I'm very intrigued by that, and you said that you're going to be teaching that. I might have to just say, hey, yeah, you want to talk after this?
Oh, yes. It's fascinated
in how they entwine all that. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I've, in my past, I've have come across two shamans that have, you know, taught me a couple of things of, you know,
yeah,
grounding and protecting, but, you know,
yeah,
I've always been intrigued in how the American Indians incorporate their spirituality and how they do their ceremonies and stuff like that. So I found that very interesting to me. And I feel that you don't have to be American Indian to actually get into this,
right,
correct? In this technique, yeah, that's what I assume.
Absolutely, absolutely. I am definitely not. And I had some mistaken ideas about what shamanism was, and I had always thought you had to go use peyote or something to get high,
yeah,
and have a vision, but that's not how it is at all. Everybody's different, and we don't use any drugs. We learn to journey. It's not difficult to do. Learn to journey and have a relationship with our guides, and it is totally amazing how the world changes when you know that you have a team around you. It's an,
yeah,
amazing experience, and as you talked about with yourself, I'm a medical intuitive, and I've just, ever since I was a child, you know, been open and receptive to pretty much anything that came around. And the nice thing about shamanism is, and Reiki for that matter, you learn so much about protecting yourself and being safe and boundaries and ethics. And so it, both practices are I believe, wonderful and life-changing.
Yeah. No, I'm fascinated. But, you know, that's what I was going to ask you is, you know, now are you in an area that you have a community of shamanisms, or do you live in an area that, you know, is kind of distant from it? And also, did you always have, you know, when you were younger, you were saying that you've always been intuitive. When did you decide to say, okay, I want to start working on Reiki and I want to start, you know, being a practitioner in shamanism? When did you, you know, decide to do that? What happened, you know, that made you say, oh, I had an awakening? You know, like with me, it was after my first daughter in 1995, but I've always been intuitive myself. But I've just kind of been, since her birth, I've just been coming more awakening of my spirituality. So that was my question to you. You know, was there something in your life that said, oh, I need a, you know, this is an awakening for me?
Well, as to if I'm in an area with many shamans around, I live in Alabama.
Okay.
We're not exactly known here for shamanism. I really have had to search and find the community. As far as Reiki goes, at first I was hesitant to even say that's what I did because it's a very strictly religious area of the country, as most people listening would know. But I found that once I realized that this is who I am, this is what I do, it's all good intention, and found the peace that comes with that, I find that people are drawn to you. Those people who are open and who are interested come to you. And
exactly.
So we have a community now because, you know, we've made one, I guess is, you know, the way it works as far as what I've seen. And as far as myself, well, my first memory is being in my crib and seeing a lady, this very nasty-looking lady, leaning over my crib.
Hey.
And she would make these nasty noises to me, and it terrified me. And, you know, I asked my mother when I was an adult why, and I remember whimpering and crying, and I was tiny. And it was very interesting. I asked my mother, you know, when I was older, do you remember me crying or something, anything strange when I was in my crib? And she said, yes. She said, we never could figure out why you'd be staring at this particular spot and crying and whimpering and terrified. And so, you know, that is my first memory, but it's not been unpleasant generally like that. There's good and bad in the world, and it's in the universe, and, you know, I don't focus on the negative, and I am aware of it, and I take my precautions, and I'm very conscious of keeping my clients safe and, you know, having an ethical practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that the more I have found peace within myself and the more I've trained, the safer I am and the more positive, you know, as far as dealing with whatever comes along with Reiki, with the Reiki practice and shamanic practice. You know, I do have sometimes ancestors or guides or negative energy, whatever will show up. And you know, it all works out just fine. My home is very protected, and I do believe that, you know, the more I find the peace inside myself, and then the more I have used my gifts on my own term. I mean, I do a lot of psychopomp work, helping people cross over.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's not anything traumatic. It's a lovely thing to do and very satisfying. And so I think what happened is I went through a period in my life where I kind of denied that I had any gifts and denied the intuition. And then I finally came to a point later when I realized, oh, I can't do that anymore. I'm unhappy. I can't
yeah.
be someone I'm not. And
well,
so,
I think as,
and then
you know,
I had a near-death experience, and so
oh,
I think
you
that's
did.
What solidified. Well, yes, I had encephalitis in the late 80s, and excuse me, and almost died a couple of times. And one time I was in a beautiful place. It was simply, it wasn't any light. It wasn't anything that was what you would typically hear. I was basically in a lovely place where everything was wonderful, and I didn't want to go back. And I did go back. They reminded me I had a son, and I did hear them say that. And so I couldn't, you know, stay gone. I felt that I needed to be there for him. And I don't think I ever completely came back into myself for maybe a year. And
yeah.
after that, I was just a whole lot more sensitive than I ever was, and I already was sensitive.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Reiki
so that
and shamanism.
That kind of hiding the situation.
Yes, and then when I learned the energy work, I learned not to be overwhelmed. I mean, I used to walk into Walmart and hear conversations in the back and feel things from everyone in there, and it was awful. I mean, it really
yeah.
was. And that
yeah,
doesn't happen
anymore.
So.
I have that as well. I mean, I could be in an area and I can just be like, wow, I can feel the intensity.
It is. It's very overwhelming.
Everybody, you know.
But I don't have that anymore, so it's very
yeah.
I mean, it's there, but it's the background.
So how did you become a shaman practitioner and Reiki master? I mean, I know you just said because, you know, of this journey, but was there someone that said, oh, did you have the feeling of leading into that? Or, you know, did someone say, hey, I'm doing this, you want to join me?
Well, my background is in science. My degree is in biology and earth and space education in education. So my background is a teacher, and my background is in science, and I did, you know, I worked in hospitals. I did a lot of healthcare work, and I always felt like there was something else, and that the doctors, while they were doing their best, were missing a big part of the equation. And when we would code people, I worked in respiratory therapy, and we did have, you know, I did see a lot of people die, and many didn't, but, and so I would see the person's spirit leave, and, you know, I knew we're only treating such a tiny part of what's there. And then I had some online friends who were Reiki masters, and one day sent me some Reiki. And I had, you know, from the science background, I had no expectation. I didn't know. I didn't preload myself with how I would feel. I just went and laid in my bed, and that was this amazing experience. And I felt like I went back to that lovely place where I was when I almost died. It was wonderful.
So this was calling to you. This was like awakening for you to say, this is something I need to kind of incorporate with myself, because this feels really like I should do this.
Yes, and so I took classes, and I knew from the first class that this, I wanted to teach it, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do, and I found that it was like a puzzle piece for me that kind of just clicked into place. I've been waiting for it all my life, and so it that was the beginning of it, and I've been doing this and learning and trying to grow ever since then, and sharing it with anyone who wants to learn, basically.
That's very interesting. Now, if you don't mind telling the viewers, what is a Laho facilitator?
Okay, it's Lahochi. It is another energy work modality. It's another style of energy work. And it's generally taught to Karuna Reiki Masters. And I know there are groups online who teach it to others, and I can't speak for any of them. I just know what I've learned. And it is a very different energy than Reiki. Just as the shamanic energy is different than Reiki energy, and it's all good, it's just different. And what happens is Lahochi is basically the way it is described as a group of angels. I don't really see them as angels, but, you know, everyone has a different perspective in how they see things. back in 1991, there was a group of healers who were asking, as I think most of us who do this do, asking for a deeper healing and a better way to heal. And the Lahochi, they called themselves Lahochi, came forward. And I have to say that when I use Lahochi, I use it for instance, if someone has a really intense physical or emotional issue that's really intense, I find that Lahochi is very good to focus on an area. For instance, if you've, you know, wrecked your knee in basketball, you know, or you have really bad back problems, I find that Lahochi is a different feeling. It's a very high-frequency energy, and it's very intense, and it is so healing. And the nice thing is that when you put all the things together and you have a big toolbox of what you can pull out to help people, it's totally amazing, you know, the
now,
result.
Now, is this Lahochi, is it Asian? Because it sounds to me like Hawaiian, but is it Asian?
Well, the people that came forward really did not distinguish where they were from. I think what they got the name from, where they came from the name, I'm not sure exactly where the origin of what they said. They call themselves Lahochi. So where they got that name from, you know, I can't speak to where they got it from.
No, it just sounds like,
but Michael David
Lawrence
was in the United States and who asked them to, you know, ask for better healing. You know.
No, I think that's fascinating.
You know, as far as the origin of the words, that would be one thing, but where they say it came from, where they were from, all I know is that I feel presences when I do Lahochi. And so it's a little bit different than Reiki.
And now, how long have you been doing this?
Well, Lahochi I've been for about 2 years, I believe. Two or three years.
Okay.
It all blurs together after a while.
Yeah, it all blends together and all comes together. That makes sense. But, you know, I want to go back because you said that you help people cross over to the other side. What was the terminology name for that again?
Well, one term for that is psychopomp, and that is simply someone who helps us go from one world to, you know, one phase to another, and that can be bringing into, coming into the world or going out of, the, of this life. And so you can look at that either way, but it usually refers to someone who helps, I guess you could say souls, spirits, the essence of someone, whatever you personally call it,
to,
to cross over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Very interesting. If you don't mind me asking, so how do you collaborate all your professions in helping, you know, helping other, you know, your clients? Do you use all of your abilities, or do you just use certain areas? I mean, when you have, of course, do you own your own business?
Well, actually, the business that I work in for my profession is a family business, and it is IT-based, so it's completely different than this. What I do for my healing practice is when someone comes to me, actually before they come I start feeling it, but when someone comes to me and wants some kind of a session, what I do is I label it as Reiki, as far as that is what my practice is referred to as, a Reiki practice. But when someone comes to me, I mean, I work with my guides so closely. We're like, you know, it's family. And so when someone comes to me, I always get messages about what's appropriate for them. If someone came in and asked me to read cards for them, sure, if that's what you want and that's what works for you, fine. But that's generally not where I focus. What I focus on is, you know, what type of energy is appropriate for you right this moment. And in one session, it may be mostly a Reiki session of different levels of Reiki. Another session, it may be mostly shamanic. I might get the message that a soul retrieval would be appropriate. And when I speak to the person, if they feel that that's appropriate, I'll ask my guides one more time to make sure, and we do that. So what happens is exactly what's needed for that person that day. And it might be different the next week or the next month, but for that day, they get whatever healing they need.
Okay. And if you don't mind explaining to the viewers, I work with my spirit guides too, and I'm still trying to connect with them as well. But if you don't mind, you know, elaborating what our spirit guides and, you know, how many, I know we have, is it 7 spirit guides that we're supposed to have? You want to elaborate more on that, if you don't mind?
Well, here's the thing. I am not going to say that no one else has different opinions on this. I'm just saying my experience in my training. Excuse me. We have what I would call a totem or a lifetime guide who's with
us
all the time.
Like a spirit totem, you mean?
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Well, see,
I didn't get you.
No, that's okay. Well, part of my learning of the shamanic practitioners, when I told you that I worked with 2 of them, they told me to focus on my animal totems, my spirit totems.
Yes.
And so that's
yes.
what I work with, too. You know, when I'm meditating, I always get the wolf or I always get an owl. So I connect my meditating with that.
Yes.
But what I mean by spirit guides, it's like, you know, somebody, your master teachers or someone that, to me, I work with them on the other side that gives me information, spirit, or what you want to call it.
Right. Well, as I said, you know, you have the totem that's your lifetime guide. Part of what I teach when I teach Reiki is we also journey and meditate to find our Reiki guide, which is obviously not, you know, a solid person standing in front of us. It's someone who is from the other side, all sides, wherever you want to say. We have something called gatekeepers. If we journey for them and find them, they are the ones that can help us turn whatever gifts we have up or down, depending on what we need, so that we're not overwhelmed. For instance, in Walmart, and everyone has those. We just have to ask to know who they are. We may have a journey guide who comes in for one journey. For instance, let's say you're studying for your master's in something. You may have an animal guide or a being who comes and helps you with that. You may have someone who just brings you a message, and that can be from the other side. I work, as far as from the other side, I work with several who do different things for me. I have one who helps me with soul retrievals. I have one and brings me the soul fragments to bring back. I have one who is from my family line who helps me with what my heritage is. I mean, we have so many guides that would fill a room You just have to ask.
I know we do. And it's, you know, a lot of people are like, spirit guides. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we have spirit guides. We have tons of them. And, you know, I feel that we have, in my opinion, excuse me, the allergies here are bad where I live in Louisiana. So I'm not originally from here, but, oh, my goodness, the allergies here are even worse on the East Coast where I'm from. So I'm like, I don't know about you, because I know
awful,
you live in Alabama, so I'm assuming that you have that that problem with the pollen, too, when you go out to your car.
Yes,
you're like, holy crap.
We do. We do.
But I do know that from all my, you know, self-taught and and what I've been doing for the past 18 years is that I know that we have different guides for different reasons, like you have said.
Yes.
And I feel that we connect them, and they're with us. And I also feel that, you know, when we're born, we also have ones that connect with us, too, and stay with us until we pass. And that's what I've always assumed, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Do you feel the same way as that, too, or?
Oh, absolutely. Vulture is my guide, and he's always been with me, and he will be with me. And he is the one, when I go to Journey, who makes sure that who I'm finding is really who he or she or it says, you know, instead of someone who is going to give me bad information. And he's the one when I'm working on a client who, if there's something I don't need to deal with or something that doesn't need to be touched, will let me quickly know, no, stop. And so, excuse me, so it is, it's working with a whole team, and it's lovely. My Reiki guide is a beautiful big white wolf. And, you know, I find these for others, too, and that's the nice thing is that, you know, I hear people say, I feel so lonely, and I think, well, when I see you, I see your guides around you. You just aren't aware of them. And so it's really, really nice to get a working relationship. And it's having your family around you. And the nice thing is they're all functional. There's no family dysfunction. You know, it's all functional members of your team who work with you all the time. And that's a wonderful feeling. And I love to share that with others and help them find theirs.
Good. Just let me, you know, if anybody wants to call on the show, you can call toll-free United States and Canada, of course. Their number is 888-627-6008. Or if you want, you know, if you're local in America, you can call 530-327-7602. And today my guest is Ruth Ann Mack, and she's here with me. And I'm so excited because she's telling me all this informative information, and I'm, like, sitting here going, oh, my goodness, this is really interesting. But anyways, I'm really glad that you're here, and I just wanted to let you know that, so just for you.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I appreciate you asking.
Well, thank you. So now you don't have, like you were saying, you work for a different company, but you don't have your own personal company that you do this for. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't call it really a company. My website is alabamareiki.com, and that's kind of, you know, I don't have what you would call a company with this. I work sort of under the umbrella of our main business for our family. But, of course, the healing part is separate. And so I wouldn't call it necessarily a company, but, yes, it is my Reiki practice, if that makes sense.
Okay. And how long have you been, you've been doing this for quite some time, and how long have you established doing this for?
Well, let's see. I started working with Reiki and energy work about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I have been working with people with energy for many years, and I've been, you know, helping with people with, for instance, part of my background, I have extensive psychology and counseling coursework as well, and so I've been using my intuition with people for many, many years.
We have a guest that wants to come online.
Okay.
Go ahead, Trish, you're online.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if either one of you could give me a little insight into my career.
Okay, Trish, you want to take this? I'm sorry, Ruth?
Yes. Well, the first thing that struck me when I heard your voice is that it seems to me, I'm getting the message that you really have many more abilities than you are able to use, excuse me, in your present situation, and that a lot of wondering where you want to be and need to be in your career relates to being able to sit down and trust that what you feel is right for you and what you feel would make you happy in your life, it's like you're not to the point yet, or you're not allowing yourself to see what you're so good at. Does that make sense to you?
A little. I actually am in the middle of three different interviews, and I was kind of looking for a little insight as to if one of them is the right position. I mean, I there's one I really want, but I'm mm-hmm. Still waiting.
Well, what I guess I mean is that it's not that even if you don't get any of these three, the point I think that was being made to me the most is that you have one gift, especially that is something that is your passion, and you have this is where you want to end up. You don't want to be stuck in whatever job, but if any of these three are offered to you, I hope it's the one that you really want, because it's your passion. When you will choose the passion and the one that you're really interested in, if you don't get this job, I guess my point is don't give up on getting a job in that area of area of work, because you have a passion for something that is, I can just feel, it feels as if you have something to share with the people around you that is really very profound, and I don't mean necessarily on a profound words, just something that will make a big difference to the people around you and will wake up the part of you that isn't right now with whatever you're doing. That's what I'm getting. I'm not getting a detail of you'll get this, that, or the other, but it's more of a, even if you don't get these, don't give up on that thing that is your passion. Is there something in your life that you just love to do that you don't get to do?
No. It's funny you said, my passion is what the job that I'm, I really like the field that I'm in, and I'm interviewing mm-hmm. for a company that does something very similar to my prior company.
Okay.
But there's no spiritual.
What I get, Trish, is that I feel, what I'm thinking, what Ruth Ann is saying, is that the job field that you're in, it might be what you want now, but I feel in the long run, this is not going to be what you're going to end up doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm picking up, Ruth. Are you feeling the same thing?
Yeah, it's that the direction that you will end up going, if you will be true to what you really like to do, as far as if you like what you're doing now, it's like, you don't have to give that up. Do what you want to do, but as she said, that isn't going to be exactly where you end up. Is what you're doing now, whether you like it or not.
Trish, hon. I feel that what you're doing now in your career, yes, this is what you want to do now. But in the long run, I feel that you're going to go in a different direction, and I feel it's going to be something that you really want to do. And I feel that that's what I'm picking up, and I can't speak for on behalf of Ruth, but that's what I'm getting from what she's saying.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, that's basically the idea that I was getting too. I just didn't word it as well as she did.
You're great, Ruth Ann. I love you. But go ahead, Trish.
It's not that I don't think that farther down the road that I would do something different. It's mm-hmm. just at the moment. My company was sold, and so I'm looking for a new job, and so doing something that I'm familiar with and that I like seems what I want. Now, a year or two from now, anything could change, but at the moment, this is what I'm interested in.
Exactly,
I definitely think
you're doing in your career is what you're supposed to be doing at the moment, and I feel that you do it really well. But I'm just feeling, psychically that within a couple of years you're going to change, and you're actually going to within the next year, about 16 months, you're going to start realizing I want to go in a different direction, and that's what I'm picking up, that you're going to go in a totally different direction.
That's what I was feeling too, that there's. That it will take the confidence in yourself of stepping outside of the box that is a comfortable box at the moment, that you'll have to have that confidence in yourself that is something that's worthwhile, that change. And I think that's what I was trying to say, but I didn't say very well.
No, that's okay. And you know, sometimes, you know, we have to have, you know, sometimes the word just doesn't come out because, you know, I have that problem too, so don't feel bad. I, you know, sometimes I can express what I want to say and it comes out a totally different way and you're like, that's not what I meant. But
well, sometimes
but
I get
appreciate
an image
you calling
or
in, Trish. We
word.
Have another caller.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Trish, for calling.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Caller, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi, good afternoon.
Thank you for holding.
Carolyn?
I appreciate it. And what's your name, sweetheart?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, thank you. What can we help you with today?
Well, I also, spiritually speaking, I'm going through so much that it's coming so fast at me, which I love. I'm not complaining. But in reality, I also want to expand on that because I know my path is to help people. So what I want to do is start up a nonprofit organization to help Hurricane Sandy victims, and also a side thing that I love to do, which is setting up events for light workers, like seminars, and I'd like to know if I'm on my right path.
Ruth, you wanna step in, or?
You may be getting something else. The nice thing is that when we all work together, we get different parts of the picture. And when we put it together, it makes the picture. What I'm getting from you, Carolyn, is that you have and are in the midst of your energy really shifting, and it feels as if you are becoming open to some things that you might not have been back a few years ago. And I feel like this is something that, as far as the seminars for the light workers, I think this sounds like a lovely thing. I think that you will want to be careful how you set that up. I have a feeling that it might be easy for the logistics of it to get in the way of what your intention is, and I think your intention is good. So be very careful setting that up, and the nonprofit too. It feels to me as if the direction is a wonderful direction, but just be very careful. That old saying, the devil's in the details, to be very careful. Mm-hmm. As far as the rest of it, I what did you get, Antoinette? What did you get?
You know, I really get that she will, how can I put this? I feel that what she's doing is really remarkable. I think that she can actually go further with this, that she can turn it into a nonprofit but actually end up being profitable in the end. I feel that what she's doing is opening up more and allowing other people who are just beginning to be, you know, light workers to kind of, hey, you can come and do this, and, you know, you can learn from others. I think this is a really good thing for her, honestly, to be not also, you know, also helping others, but also helping herself, too, to learn more and to open up more.
Wow. Yes, definitely.
That is beautiful.
But just be careful how you set things up is what the message I got for you, is to make sure you cross those, you know, those T's and make sure that what you have as far as agreements will be in writing. I really feel like that's important for you.
I just want to make sure that you're, you know, make sure that you do some research and do some study before that, because, you know, if you listen to my show, I'm getting my bachelor's in psychology, so I'm always tell people, research, you know. I would do more research, per se, just to make sure that you are making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and, you know, the regulations and all that stuff. But overall, I feel really positive about this. I feel that, you know, you could have, you know, major events not only helping Sandy, but other places, too. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yes.
I really want to be honest with you, I want to help women and children. I don't know why. I feel they're very vulnerable. And even Africa. I'd like to go global at some point. And just to help a lot of families. That's all I want to do, you know. And I think that's my contract anyway. That's what
I think this is a direction that really is part of your path. I think, you know, I'd really believe that. It feels like you're opening up to things that you haven't been before, and that your growth, part of your growth, your spiritual growth, is related to the endeavors that you're considering.
I feel positive overall. I really do. And you do, and Ruth Ann, I'm sure she does too. I mean, you know, as you know, sometimes people have awakenings and they'll like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, you know. So I think that what you're doing is good, and I think that you should continue on this journey that you're doing on this road. And I think if you continue doing it and doing more research about it, I think it will expand and it could also be worldwide. But see, that's not for many, many years from now because you're just starting out and connecting with that. But, you know, once you give into the universe and give out that energy of being positive, I really do feel that in the end the energy will give back to you and things will be positive for you as well, if that makes sense.
Beautiful.
Beautiful ladies. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You have a great day. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, both of you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Hi, Ruth. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I love doing stuff like that. It just makes me feel so much better in the end, huh?
Isn't that wonderful to hear someone find something that really means a lot to her and something I know is going to help a lot of people?
Yeah, it is. You know, like I was saying about the universe, I feel that once you give out to something that's positive, you get it back.
Absolutely.
You know, I always believed in that. You know, I always tell my kids, karma's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Karma, karma. And I always think that, you know, karma is, you know, you give out and it will give back to you. And that's what I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, when you come from a place where your intent is a good intent, and I say good in that it's with the intent of helping, with the intent of improving the world in some way or another, allowing people to be who they are, then you are definitely going to get that back.
Exactly. And I think that, too. And, you know, you know, maybe if you want to elaborate on this, but I always feel that it doesn't matter, you know, what topic you work in, say, you know, a psychic medium, shaman. I think as long as you're working and helping people in society, I think it doesn't matter what we call ourselves. As long as we're giving back and helping, and I think that's the true meaning of this, is helping someone.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I frankly am personally not a lot into labels. I mean, yes, I give people Reiki certificates so that someone they come along with can see that they've had the training they need. But on the other hand, when someone says, what are you? I don't know. You know, I don't. To me, it's whatever comes along is what the universe sent, and that's what's supposed to happen. And so if I'm calling myself a, you know, Reiki practitioner or a shamanic practitioner, I've called myself a psychic, I call myself a medium, I don't even usually think of most of those titles. I'm just me, and I'm just letting come through whatever's supposed to come through.
Yep, me too. And, you know, sometimes you have to put, what is it called, like a brand or whatever you want to call it, a name.
I think labels are helpful in that they help people understand where our frame of reference. If you tell me that you're a medium, I have an instant understanding that most likely will tell me that you communicate with the other side, with people that you don't always see personally in front of you and that someone else might not. And so that does help. But
exactly.
I think that,
you know, a lot of, you know, light workers, I want to say, or people who practice, you know, whatever form that have to help people, I think a lot of people, this kind of, it's not being stereotypical or being rude, but I say to people who, you know, I say to people all the time, you know, everybody has the ability to tune in, to, you know, turn in that switch. But me and my friend Melinda will have this conversation, you know, the humans, well, I call them humans because, you know, they're not on the same level as people who are more spiritual. And I always tell them, it's like, you know, sometimes being human and spiritual is very hard because you have to, you know, you have to switch from that. And people don't understand that it's not easy for you to switch from human to spiritual because it's always with you being spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And one thing that I really emphasize to my students, and I try my best to practice this, and hey, I'm human and it's a struggle sometimes, but is to remove the ego from the healing work.
Exactly.
I mean, my students, many of them have opened their practices, and I'm thrilled for them. I mean, there are plenty of people for plenty of practitioners, and, you know, whatever you go to find help for, you know, with, whenever, I don't care if you come to me, I don't care if you come to one of my students, I don't care if you come to someone completely different with a different modality. The point is to grow and to reach for that because, you know, I just, the thought of someone not reaching for it and being miserable his or her whole life is just sad to me. It's not my path, and I would never try to fix people, but it is sad to me when I know there are so many ways not to feel that way.
Exactly. And I think, you know, to all the viewers that are listening, I think that, you know, if you're going down a path and you feel that that's the right path for you and other people might be saying that's not, listen to your intuitive. Listen to what your body is saying or your, you know, your mind and whatnot is saying to you, because that is the best thing for you. And, you know, that's, I think that's the problem, I have to be honest, is that a lot of people will listen to other people instead of listening to their own intuitive side.
And, you know, that's another one of the first things I tell my students, too, is that, you know, Reiki is not complicated to learn at all. Anyone can learn it. My 2 9-year-olds have been level 1 practitioners for 3 years, maybe.
Oh, that's fascinating. You got the children going in there.
Oh, that is my goal, is, you know, I have teenage clients sometimes. I mean, if you think about it, if the next generation coming up doesn't need to turn to drugs or violence or whatever, and has a way to connect with the universe, connect with each other, to, you know, keep themselves in balance and flowing, and to reach out and help others when necessary. I mean, what a different world this would be. And, you know, I my children sometimes will remind me to brush off when I'm, you know, been frustrated. You know, Mom, you might need to brush that off. And it's
exactly,
just
but you've got to understand, though. I know what you're saying about, you know, if people got more entwined and in tune in their spirituality and the teenagers and stuff, but you also have to understand not all parents will actually believe in that. Not all parents will be open for their children to be spiritual in that sense.
I totally understand. I do.
Because,
and
you know,
I live in Alabama.
I don't know if that's where you're originally from. I'm not originally from Louisiana, and I can tell you this, being a psychic medium and a medical intuitive, it's very hard for me to say, hey, I'm a psychic medium, you know what I mean? Because where we live, in the part of the states that we live, is more of the Bible state, and it's very complicated to kind of, you know, have people be more open-minded. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's very difficult to have people being open-minded. So on that emphasis, you know, I think it would be great for teenagers to be more spiritual. But again, like I was saying, some parents are totally against their children being more spiritual, not religious, because there's a difference, I feel.
I agree. You know what's very interesting that I'm finding? I'm finding that the more clients I work on, I don't really go out and put my cards anywhere. I don't do any of that, because I find that so many people that I've worked on have had such wonderful results that they end up telling people they know. And you would be amazed at how many people come to me and say, if my family knew I was here, that they would be very upset with me. And then a few months later, I end up seeing another member of the family, because the
exactly,
first
and
has
that's
been so
like
much
I was
better.
Like I also work for a company just for my own self for helping. I work for findme2.com. I'm also a remote viewer that I work with detectives, and I help them. And actually around here, too, where I live, I have 2 people that I work with, but I help them try to find and work with missing cases and people who are missing or homicide cases. And, you know, it's not a really, you know, a lot of them that I talk to, like, you know, police or detectives, they're like, well, you know, this is not the common thing that we do, is working with someone who is a psychic medium, because it's not the common thing here. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't have a problem with it. You obviously don't have a problem with it. It's really hard to say, like, you know, regarding that, because I think wherever you go and what state you live in, I think it's different, I want to say values and morals towards stuff of spirituality, and that's where I'm trying to go from here. It's very
hard
to...
You know,
to,
I have a friend in...
You know,
Virginia,
I find it, I don't know about you, but I find it more in the South. They're kind of closed-minded than they are in the Northeast, like where I'm from, Massachusetts.
Well,
they're very open about it.
Well, I think that many have been brought up in religions who, I'm not bashing religion, but just in religions.
And neither am I, just to clarify
that. It's scary to do anything different. And so, but a friend of mine in Virginia made a point to me that really, at the beginning of my practice, really, really changed how I felt. I made the comment to her how, you know, she lives in an area where they have volunteers in the hospitals, they work with cancer patients. Reiki is just accepted much more where she is. And I made the comment to her back at the way back at the beginning when I first learned Reiki, I said, you know, it's really kind of, it makes me feel kind of sad that here I don't feel that it's very accepted. And this was back several years ago, and it's not like that in my area now. But, and I said, how sad that is. I wish I lived in a place where you are, where it would be accepted. And she said, but you're needed where you are. That's why you're there. Mm-hmm. And I was, that just struck me, and she's right. And, you know, it's funny. Now when I say what I do, I'm very laid back about it. I just say it. And if somebody wants information, I give them that. And if not, that's fine, too, because, you know, everybody's got their own path. And I find that many more people than I would have thought are open to it. And I think saying you give Reiki is a little different than saying you're a psychic, because there's a different, you know.
Yeah, there is
Reiki,
a difference.
They usually don't know what
totally
that means.
Different, totally different.
Well, they don't know what Reiki usually means.
Yeah,
when
you know, if you say anything to do with energy, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a place in where I live in Shreveport, there's a place that has, like, you can go and get astrology and stuff like that. But it's not mm-hmm. where I live. It's not open like I can go to a community like a spiritual church, for instance. I can't go there, and I can't, you know, be open about my abilities. So it's kind of hard.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It is hard.
But it is very hard. And, you know, I even tried doing a community where we live, and I tried getting more people involved. And it's just, you know, I believe that there's certain things and certain times and certain places where things are supposed to be. And I think because, you know,
yes.
with myself, we lived in Europe for almost 6 years. So coming back to the States, it's more like, you know, you're getting reestablished. But
yes.
that's okay. I think, you know, wherever you are, you're meant to do what you're supposed to be doing. And I think that's, you know, I think that's great what you're doing. I think that's fabulous. And I really applaud you for doing all the things that you're doing and opening up and getting people out there to be aware of Reiki and shamanism and stuff like that.
Well, my biggest goal is whatever the method that I use, whatever gifts I use of my own, whatever the idea is, to empower people to see that they have wonderful things inside and they have abilities of their own, and we all do. And, you know, we used to, different societies, some still do, use those and celebrate them. And I can't help but try to share this, because I just love to see people empowered and being able to take control of their lives and not feel that they're just, you know, washed around by waves of misery that life brings sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's exactly what we're talking
you
about.
You can heal from things, you know.
Exactly. And let me just have the call-in numbers before I ask you this next question, if you don't
sure.
mind, please. The call-in numbers are calling from the U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008, or you can call 530-327-7602. I'm here with my special guest, Ruthann Mack. But before the show ends in about 9 minutes, I wanted to talk to you about you co-host on BBS Radio as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's, the show is called Well-Rounded Corners.
Mm-hmm.
You want to elaborate
yes.
a little bit more about what your show is about?
Yes, I am a co-host with Robert Oliver on Well-Rounded Corners on BBS at Station 1, and we are on every other Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific. And we are basically, we talk about many topics. Generally, we tend to talk about positive topics. For instance, you know, anything from healing, anything. We talk to psychics sometimes and get their views on things. We talk about remote viewing sometimes. We talk about whatever has come up that is something that is being explored. We've talked about so many different topics, but what we try to do is focus on positive living and positive energy. And so we have a website, wellroundedcorners.com, and if you'd like to go there and just look and see some of our archives and see of our past guests, we have a Facebook page that's Well Rounded Corners.
Okay.
So you're welcome to go look there anytime you'd like and see, you know, if you want to just listen to one of our shows. And we've had some wonderful, we've had Cliff High on before, two or three times. And so we've had lovely guests, and it's a good show. We really enjoy doing it.
Awesome. I really have to, I would love to go look at the archives and listen to your show and hear about, you know, all the wonderful guests that
yes,
you have on your
do.
Show.
Yes, please do. We've had some wonderful guests on.
I'm sorry?
I said, yes, please do. We've had some wonderful guests on, and we really enjoy doing the show. So it's a wonderful way to be able to share what you know, what you're interested in. It really is.
And I think that's really good, you know, having a radio show that, you know, connects guests on to have a healthy life topics and talk about life skills and things that happen spiritually, and I think that's great. Like with my show, I always have different guests because I'm intrigued by everybody that does something spiritual. I even have people that come on that do paranormal investigations because that's things that interest me, and I think that's great that you guys incorporate that in your show, that you invite everybody and you talk about things that are positive, and that's really, really, really great that you guys do that. Now, how long have you and your co-host been working on BBS Radio, doing your radio show for?
At this point, let me see. I'm not sure how many episodes we've had. It's seems like it's been a while now. I know it's been over a year or two, I suppose. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure exactly when we started, but we have a good archive of shows for you. And actually, one of them, I believe, is on the paranormal. We're both interested in it as well, and it's kind of hard not to be interested in it with what my co-host is a Reiki master also, so it's
Of
hard for us not to be interested in the paranormal.
Yeah.
And you know, so.
Very interesting. Yeah, like I said in the beginning of my show, I am with LA Spirits here. I went to do a paranormal investigation because I had someone that called me to do, you know, because they had spirits in the house, and, you know, I just do house blessings, and that's why I was curious about.
I do that as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I do that as well. It makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And, you know, and then I decided to have the investigating team come out because I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. So I had them come in and document it more with the instruments that he used. And I loved it. But I don't think I could actually do it, you know, being an investigator because I kind of find it boring in a sense.
Well, I think the issue I have with it is that, you know, I do understand documenting it, and I agree with doing that, but the one thing is that I think it's a whole lot simpler for me personally to just ask and I get the answer instead of the tool.
Exactly,
but, you know,
but mine was being stubborn. The spirits I had was not really being open.
Yes,
and, you know, I was connecting with them. But I knew there was tons of them in there, and I knew there was resilient ones, and I also knew that there was actually spirits there. But they weren't really communicating with me as much, and I just felt a lot of negativity. So, of course, you know, because I'm speaking from the light, I was just, you know, cleansing the house and hopefully and trying to send them on their way. But, of course, it made the situation worse. So that's why I had them kind of documented. And also she wanted something documented, too, the client.
Oh, yes. And I totally understand that. I was just making that comment because I think it's interesting how, you know, so many of us try to do the same things. We just approach it differently. And I think that's wonderful. We can all work together.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, our show's coming to an end in about 3 minutes, so I was wondering if you don't mind, if people, viewers want to get in contact with you, do you have a Facebook and do you have a website that they are able to connect with you?
Yes, I do. My website is alabamareiki.com. That's Reiki is R-E-I-K-I, so that's alabamareiki.com. And my Facebook is Alabama Reiki. And my email is ram, at alabamareiki.com, so they can contact me that way. And if you just go to the website, there's other contact information there as well. And, you know, I'm happy to give you any information if you have any questions or anything like that. I'd be happy to hear from you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to wrap up the show in about 2 minutes from now, but I just wanted to say thank you to my guest, Ruth Ann Mack. I really enjoyed you being on the show, and I'm very intrigued by your career. And I wanted to say again, thank you for joining me today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, Psychic Medium Antoinette, you can on my website. It's www.mediumantoinette.com or on my Facebook, which is Psychic Medium Antoinette Zaleski. And again, if you have any questions for me, you can contact me on Facebook or my website. And again, if you want to know more about Ruth Ann Mack today, you can contact her again on her Facebook and her website. And if you don't mind telling them again.
It's alabamareiki.com. And my Facebook is Alabama Reiki. And my email address is ram@alabamareiki.com. And thank you so much for having me on today. I enjoyed it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you. And I want to say thank you for joining the show today. Of course, the show would not be successful without you and my viewers. Until next time, I want to say thank you for everybody listening in. And take care, and I want you guys to have a great day. And thank you so much, Ruth Ann, for joining the show.
Thank you.
You have a great day.